Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are finally ready to meet Ezra. After six chapters and something like 28 mini shiurim, here we are. Ezra is finally going to arrive in Israel. Note that, again, we've talked about the view that Ezra and either Zerubbabel or Sheshbatzar are the same person. We've already discussed that. But the way that the Sefer presents it, Ezra is arriving now. When is now? When is Ezra actually showing up? So if you take a look in the beginning of Ezra chapter 7, we are told, V'achar ha-devarim ha'ele, after these previous things, the building dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, B'malchus Artaxasta Melech Paras, during the time of the reign of King Artaxasta, the Persian King Artaxasta. So that creates a question. Remember that we said that the Beis HaMikdash was completed in the reign of King Darius. So who is this Artaxasta? So two different ways to approach it. The Gemara in Erchin, Yigimel Amid Aleph, is giving a chronology of Shemitah and Yovel, the sabbatical year, jubilee year calculations, and it presents this Artaxasta as Darius. We've talked about the possibility that Artaxasta is some kind of title of king, like Paro, and not a personal name. So maybe this is a reference to Darius. According to that, Ezra is arriving right after the completion of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the approach that Rashi takes here, that's the approach that Ibn Ezra takes here. The other approach would be that Artaxasta is a reference to Artaxerxes. We talked about that a while ago when we talked about the identities of the different Persian kings. If that's true, if Artaxasta is actually Artaxerxes I, that means that Ezra arrives about 80 years after the original permission of King Cyrus, about 50-something years after the completion of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that would be rather remarkable, and that's part of the pressure to say that Artaxasta is Darius, just that it's very strange, as we'll see. When he arrives, they perform all these sacrifices that look like they are dedicating the Beis HaMikdash, but they already dedicated it. It's hard to say that many decades have elapsed. Nonetheless, those are your two choices. Either Artaxasta is Darius, and this is right after the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, or this is actually a generation or two later, in the time of Artaxerxes I. Okay, so who is Ezra? So we've already noted his father or grandfather was Seraiah, the Kohen Gadol, possibly the last Kohen Gadol of the first Beis HaMikdash. We talked about the fact that Ezra does not become Kohen Gadol. Yoshua ben Yehotzadak is the Kohen Gadol in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, which, you know, Ezra's not there, so it's not so surprising. We've already noted the Gemara in Megillah, Tezayin Amud Beis, that Ezra learned from Baruch ben Neriah. Baruch ben Neriah was the scribe for Yirmiyahu. He was the one who recorded the book of Eicha, as noted in Yirmiyahu chapter 36. There's a lot to say about Baruch ben Neriah. He was a leader, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. He was involved in organizing the Jewish calendar, even though he was outside of Eretz Yisrael. He was in exile. Nonetheless, he was the leader of the Jews at the time. What makes us link Ezra and Baruch ben Neriah? Meaning the text in Tanakh doesn't actually do that. So how do we know that he was the Rebbe of Ezra? So the Gemara in Megillah, Tezvav Amud Aleph, links Baruch ben Neriah with a fellow by the name of Seraiah, who was a leader, who was a prophet. And we know that Ezra's father is named Seraiah, so maybe that creates an association. But also because Baruch is described as a sofer and a leader. Right? Sofer can mean scribe, sofer can mean teacher, but he's a sofer and a leader, and those are both identified with Ezra. Baruch is also a key link in the chain of tradition. As the chief student of Yirmiyahu, it makes sense that he would train Ezra, who was a sofer and a leader, and the one who's going to continue, as we'll see, this chain of Mesorah. So it makes sense, but it's not like you have a sentence in Tanakh that says explicitly, yeah, Baruch ben Neriah is the Rebbe of Ezra. You won't find that. Ezra, of course, is living in Bavel until he returns to Israel. We are taught the Gemara in Megillah, Tezayin Amud Beis, that Ezra does not return to Israel until Baruch ben Neriah dies. He wants to get everything he can from Baruch ben Neriah. What was Ezra doing? So the Encyclopedia Mikra'it suggests that Ezra perhaps was the scribe for the king for Jewish matters. It's an interesting possibility. He is called Sofer Dasa, the scribe of the law of the Jews. Maybe that makes a connection, but Encyclopedia Mikra itself notes that there's no real evidence for that idea. Among the Jews, we very much know Ezra's role. He is identified as a sofer, which again can mean scribe. That happens three times in chapter 7, sentence 6, sentence 12, and sentence 21. The Gemara picks up on this and talks about Ezra instituting the use of the Assyrian alphabet to record Hebrew words instead of an older Semitic alphabet that was in use. That's Sanhedrin Chav Aleph Amud Beis, Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The Yerushalmi, Meseches Tanis, Perek Dalet Halacha Beis, talks about Ezra fixing the Torah scrolls of the Jews, taking the three most authoritative Torah scrolls that we had, and figuring out which ones had the authentic text when there's a disagreement between them. Ezra is identified as well with public Torah study. That we'll see explicitly in the text, him holding a major public reading of the Torah. The Gemara in Sukkah, Chaf Amud Aleph, talks about Ezra reestablishing Torah after it was forgotten by the Jews. The Gemara in Megillah, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, talks about Ezra establishing the dates for public Torah readings. The Malbim is actually very dramatic on this front when he describes the role of Ezra. The Malbim is on Ezra chapter 7, sentence 6. He says there are three pillars in the leadership of the Jews. You know, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says that the world stands on three pillars: Torah, Avodah, service of God, and Gemilus Chasadim, kindness to others. So the Malbim says that Nehemiah is the one who's responsible for Chesed. He's the leader of communal practical matters, as we'll get to, God willing, and that he has Zerubbabel and Yoshua Kohen Gadol as the builders of the Beis HaMikdash. Those are Avodah, the service of God, and Ezra is the Amud HaTorah. He is the pillar of Torah. So Ezra is a scribe. Ezra is identified with public Torah study, and Ezra is also a framer of public halacha. He's going to take maaser, the tithes, away from the Levium, as we'll see. We'll see a Gemara in Yevamos that talks about that. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Pei Beis Amud Aleph, talks about 10 enactments that Ezra made to govern Jewish life in Israel. Ezra is a framer of public halacha. He's also a pious figure who is very much not interested in self-aggrandizement. We'll see that. But Professor Zer Kavod in the Dat Mikra notes, King Artaxasta is going to give Ezra all sorts of powers that he does not use. We see Ezra appeal to God for help, never using the tremendous power that the Persian king has actually put into his hands. Last, the Rambam in his introduction to Mishneh Torah says that Ezra does ultimately serve as Kohen Gadol at some point. We don't see that in Ezra and Nehemiah, but that's what the Rambam says. Okay, so with that as an introduction to the identity of this leader who's showing up seven chapters into his book, take a look at his introduction. V'achar ha-devrim ha'ele b'malchus Artaxasta melech paras. And after these things, which again we assume is after construction, dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, in the reign of Artaxasta the Persian king, who may have been Darius and may not have been, Ezra, son of Sariah, son of Azariah, son of Chilkiah, son of Shalom, son of Tzadok, son of Achituv, son of Amariah, son of Azariah, son of Meroyah, son of Zerachiah, son of Uzi, son of Buki, son of Abishua, son of Pinchas, son of Elazar, son of Aharon, the Kohen Harosh, the Kohen Gadol. Who? Ezra, Allah mi Bavel. This is Ezra, he ascended from Bavel. Who in the world makes an introduction like that? That's the way to walk into a room. We get this long list of his lineage. He is Ezra, who ascended from Bavel. We're now in sentence 6. It took us a lot of sentences to get through the lineage. V'hu sofer mahir b'toras Moshe. he was a quick sofer, or he was an expert sofer in the Torah of Moshe, Asher Nasan Hashem Elokei Yisrael, which Hashem, God of Israel, gave. Vayitein lo ha-melech kiyad Hashem Elokav alav kol bakashaso. And the king gave him everything he wanted according to the hand of Hashem, meaning Hashem is the one who is getting the king to be helpful, right? That's a theme we've seen. We saw that with Cyrus, we saw that with Darius, and we see it here with Artaxasta. So this lineage, first of all, worth noting, is acknowledged by the commentators as being incomplete. We are not naming everybody between Aharon the Kohen Gadol and Ezra. Divrei HaYamim Aleph chapter 5 is seen as adding in some of the missing generations for that lineage, but this is not everybody going back to Aharon. Remember that lineage is really, really important for the group coming back from Bavel, as we've talked about. It testifies to their authenticity. We talked about the different lineages that were documented when they came back. So the book here takes the time to record who exactly this Ezra is. And of course, we noted Ezra's father is Seraya, who is likely the last Kohen Gadol in the first Beis HaMikdash. So what I want to do tomorrow is to start from this business of him being Sofer Mahir, an agile or able scribe of the law of God, and we're going to move from that into his arrival in Israel.